Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. During this centennial year of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which assured that women in the United States have a right to vote, SDPB has embarked on a project to tell the history of suffrage in the state. We're also looking at the results of that change in today's South Dakota by visiting with women who use their influence to change their communities and change our lives. Today, we're welcoming a frequent guest in the moment, Karen Mortimer, with the Miniluzahan Akola Kichiapi Ambassadors. Karen, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Lori. It's an honor.
I feel like we could talk about your life and how you got from here to there, but I think I know you well enough to know that we better start with what's happening in our communities today and racism, relationships with one another, how we talk to one another, how we raise our voices in protest, how we do so peacefully, how we enact change, because this is so much a part of how I know you. And so I feel like we should start there. Tell me a little bit about the work of the Miniluzahan Akola Kichiapi Ambassadors during these times. Those relationships that you've built over the past several years must be really important right now.
Boy, you're absolutely right. Within this last, week or so during the events around the murder in Minneapolis, it's been interesting. People are reaching out to one another, and I've been able to network with people and put people together, and that's been a real honor. Yesterday, a really great example. We had some real concern in the community. I think you've probably talked about this already today, but my phone started to ring around early in the morning and never stopped until late last night. And what's happening is we know as people who have developed relationships over time that we are an email, a text, a phone call away from each other, and we pick up, we read, we respond. And the trust in those relationships really makes a difference.
One of the things that I've seen frequently here on social media are people of color posting about how often they're getting contacted by people that they don't really have a relationship with, people that they don't know, saying, help me explain this to my children, or help process this, help me process this. What would you like me to do? And some of those people of color are saying, this is your responsibility to figure out what your role is in racism, in building relationships with people who don't look like you or who have different backgrounds than you do. And you really should have started a long time ago. But I do want to address this idea, Karen, of people awakening for the first time to things that they hadn't really put much thought into before and saying, what do I do next? What's my responsibility here? Do I read a book? Do I join a group? I'm confused. I'm in pain. I see other people's pain. I want to be part of a solution. What was that process like for you? How far back does it go where you started thinking, I need to be in dialogue with people. I need to listen more generously to people in my community about experiences that are different than my own?
Well, I can say that's true just even this morning. I think every day we need to realize that, particularly if we are people of privilege and we aren't marginalized in the community. But I started this early on. I grew up in Minneapolis, so, take it from there to today. And I think it's important every single day to listen, sit back, and humbly learn from our colleagues.
Tell me a little bit about how, amongst the other ambassadors, the people that you've been through so much with, from training and traveling together and researching things, bringing awareness to people about different the history and the present of Rapid City racism in Rapid City. What kind of conversations are you having about what needs to happen now? What needs to happen next?
Well, interesting, on a number of levels. Because everybody does want to say, well, what can I do? You know, we want something tangible to be able to call on, and that helps us. We, you know, Fred Rogers said, look for the helpers, you know, in a crisis. So everybody, we want to be helpers. And so what I see happening is we've been doing this work for about 6 years now, and it's really grounded in developing relationships, you know, and we have this acronym called BEAM, which stands for Bridging Cultures, Educating Ourselves and Others, Advocacy and Modeling Respectful Behaviors, and Never. I mean, yesterday I wrote an email to the group saying, is there never a better time to think about that? How can we build bridges? You know, what is it that we can do? How can we develop a relationship? How can we learn more? How can we advocate? What, you know, do we march? Do we talk to civic leaders? Do we speak up ourselves? And then modeling respectful behavior, of course, first and foremost. But in actionable terms, a couple of things that we're working on is one of the big projects that's been going on over time, and I know you're familiar with this, and I hope some of the listeners are as well, is the Rapid City Indian School Lands Project, which tells the history of a relatively recent history in Rapid City that explains a lot of things about how the Native community feels, and it also brings out the idea that we as non-Native people don't know about this. So there's going to be some really interesting things happening within the next few months, the next year. So if everyone stays tuned to that, we'd love to have everyone participate in that. As far as MOA, I'm probably speaking a little ahead of ahead of your skis here, but the MOA has been trying to figure out how we can make this work sustainable. And we have been working several of us from MOA were placed on the Human Relations Task Force, Human Relations Commission Task Force by the mayor, to try to figure out how to make a better Human Relations Commission for Rapid City. Where we're going with this is a merger, sort of a public-private partnership, where we can really look at nurturing a culture that values equity, respect, understanding, and honestly, now more than ever, to have all voices be heard. So watch for that in the next month or two. There'll be lots of opportunities for the community to participate. It's meant to be incredibly inclusive, to bring in the groups in the community that are doing this work. So I'm hopeful with that, because in race relations, in racism, there are two sides. And it's sort of a Yoda deal, you know, it's do or do not, there is no try. If we are silent, if we are neutral, then are we anti-racist? So there's some really interesting opportunities that I think in the chaos and the mess that's going on right now, I think it's an opportunity for us to think, reflect, and act.
We do not have to be impartial about racism. As much as we talk about civil discourse and balance and impartiality, we don't have to be impartial about racism. Karen, SDPB is doing this project about the vote and women's suffrage, and I want to ask you if there are women leaders that either from the past or from today who continue to inspire you to step into your own role in the community. Because 100 years ago, this would have been an entirely different story. Tomorrow or today is primary day, and women across the state are going to vote. All this is the legacy of these women and these activists who said women's voices matter. Who inspires you?
Well, I have so many women who inspire me on a regular basis. But I'm going to talk about two people that particularly inspire me today. And those are people that I work with, two of my native colleagues who are brilliant, they are fierce, they are balanced, and incredibly intelligent. One is Heather Dawn Thompson, who is the she birthed this project on the Indian school lands. Brilliant woman, Harvard-trained lawyer, so much admiration for her, and she's a good friend. Another one is Amy Sazu, who is stepping out. She's a mother, a highly trained professional, an activist in our community, and she's running today for the school board. And it's brave. Things have not been easy in this campaign. I admire them both. They're brave, they're fierce, they're honest, they're authentic. And I'm really grateful for that.
Can you tell me, we just have a minute left, and for women who want, young women, maybe they walked in that protest yesterday, or maybe they didn't, but young women who are hoping to have influence in the future, what's your message to them in 30 seconds or less about how to step forward into that in a way that is authentic to themselves and good for the world?
Well, to believe in themselves, to truly believe in themselves, and seek mentorship from their peers, from their elders, and continue forward in this amazing movement.
And go vote. 100 years ago, people worked really hard to get you to give you this opportunity.
Exactly. One quote that a friend of mine gave me that I want to share today is that when the world needs to break sometimes to see the pieces. And boy, do we see pieces today. So if we go vote, we are active, we are not complicit, we'll make a difference.
Karen Mortimer, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Laurie.